Time for our first message this morning. The Lord touched my heart early this morning about Brother David Epps. He is a missionary to the prisons with Gulf Coast. Is that Gulf Coast Missions? Is that right? Prison Ministries. And I appreciate this man. Every time I have heard him preach, he has fed my heart. I mean, every time. I appreciate his faithfulness. He's the same everywhere he goes. I want you to hear him gladly. He's going to preach to us about 30 minutes. And we'll have some more singing and some more preaching, Lord willing. And if we never get anywhere else, we'll just stay where we're at. Amen.
I don't know if this thing's on. Is it on already? Matthew chapter 24, if you have a Bible with you. I am truly honored that I be allowed to preach here, and I say that I hope it ain't false humility after Brother Tom preached on humility. Yes, some folks said they're going to ride on how to be humble. Yeah. I'm sure not that, but whatever it is, I'd like to have a good dose of it. Amen. Anyhow, I'm a nervous wreck, can you tell? I drank too much caffeine this morning. What's the matter with me? I'm wired up. If you can't get the Holy Ghost on you, drink a Mountain Dew. That'll help you. Thank God. Well, anyway, so much for that. Verse 29 of Matthew 24. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Then learn a parable of the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and putteth forth her leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of the day and hour knoweth no man, knoweth not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. The two women shall be grinding at the meal, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Father, we ask in Jesus' name, you bless the ring of your word. Give us liberty just a few minutes. Help us calm down here. Help us get our thoughts together and use this to be a blessing here to these people and please unto thee in Jesus' name, amen and amen. It's talking about the coming of the Lord, and we do know, I don't know what you are, but I'm a premillennialist. I believe in the rapture. This here's talking about when he comes at the end of the tribulation. He's coming, Revelation chapter 19. He said, I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse. Him that set up on is called faithful and true, and in righteousness to judge and make war. He's talking about the Lord coming at the end of the tribulation. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5 talks about him coming in the rapture and getting us out of here before the tribulation. I believe that's right. I do believe he's coming. I believe that ever since I got saved. Some years ago, my son, he's a grown man now, he's 36, but he was small then, a little boy. He got sick, had one of them stomach viruses. And stayed home, and I stayed home with him. And about lunchtime, it's strange how they get well about lunchtime. Amen. And he wanted to go out and play. I said, well, sure, going out and play. So I thought I'd play a trick on him. I've been telling him about Jesus ever since he came forth from his mother's womb. We've been witnessing to him, talking to him, trying to explain things to him, how he needed to get saved and how the Lord was coming and people wasn't saved. They're going to be left and all that. And he was out playing, and I knew he was going to come in to get him some water or something to eat. And so I went in the bedroom and covered up. I had made the bed up, and I'd covered up and rolled up in the blankets and thought I'd play a trick on him. And I heard him coming up the sidewalk. And as he come through the door, he said, "Hey, Dad. Hey, Dad." I didn't move, and I heard him go down in the basement, and his voice got a little more intense. "Hey, Dad. Hey, Dad." And then he came through the bedroom where I was at, and I just laid there. He said, "Hey, Dad." And he ran out the door. He said, "Oh, no, the Lord's come, and my dad's gone." That's the true story. I run him down. I had to run him down. I said, "Don't tell your mother. Don't tell your mother that I scared you like that." He really believed what I'd been telling him.
Amen.
If we really believe what the Bible says about it, we'd get a little upset too. I read this. I may not have it all right. I read this. I think it may be Ripley's Believe It or Not or Guinness Book of World Records. I don't know I get my message out of anything I can get it from. Hallelujah. But I read about this Buddhist monk that died in Tibet on one of them monasteries about 1,500 years ago. And you know, they ain't none of them people say they worship some little fat-bellied guy. And there's several of you in here he could worship this morning. But truth of the matter is, this Buddhist monk died, and on his deathbed, he said, "I shall return." And for the last 1,500 years, every morning, those monks go in that monastery to where he was laying, amen, and clean that room up and get it prepared, expecting him to come. Well, he ain't coming. If we really believe the Lord's coming like they believe that monk was coming, we'd get our house cleaned up. Amen. I believe he's coming, don't you? I believe he's coming. You know, the scoffers, they doubt he's coming. That's 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle I now write in you, both which I stir up your pure mind, by way of remembrance you might be mindful of the words were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that you come in last days, scoffers, walking after their own lust, saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as it was from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of. For by the word of God the heavens were old, and earth stand out of water and into water, and the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heaven and earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved against fire and judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is of the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years in one day. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any perish, but all come to repentance. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, when the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Elements shall melt with fervent heat in the earth, and the works thereof shall be burned up. Seeing all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation, godly, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, when the heavens shall pass away with melt with a fervent heat, and the earth shall be burned up? Seeing we look for such thing, beware. He said, y'all ain't helping me none here. Amen. You should be without spot and without blemish. Amen. And he said, account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. He's our beloved Paul, according to wisdom given unto us. For in all his epistles making mention of these things, some things hard to be understood. They which unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scripture of their own destruction. But seeing you know these things, beware lest you being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen. You said, preacher, you got a little stuck there. You ought to look at this crowd and do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm a nervous wreck. Praise God. Hey, the scoffers, they doubt is coming. Satan dreads is coming. That's Revelation chapter 20. I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key in the bottom pit, and in his hand a great chain, laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil, bound him 1,000 years and cast him in the bottom of the pit, shut him up and set a seal upon him to leave the nation no more till 1,000 years be fulfilled. Then he shall be loosed a little season. I saw thrones and them that sat upon it. Judgment was given unto them. I saw the souls of them beheaded for the witness Jesus, for the word of God was not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither to receive his mark mark in their forehead and their hand. These rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead live not again till the 1,000 years be expired. This is the first resurrection. On such a second death they have no power. But they shall be priests of God, and Christ shall reign with him 1,000 years. When the 1,000 years be expired, the devil deceived him, going to be loosed out of his prison, going to go out in the four corners of the earth. Gog and Magog, together them together, number sand of the sea. And he went up on the breadth of the earth, passed about the camp of saints, that beloved city. Fire came down from God out of heaven and deceived them. And the devil that deceived them, you're going to cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. They're going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Thank God. Amen. I know it's coming. Hey, the scoffers, they doubt it's coming. Satan dreads it's coming. But the scriptures declare it's coming. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. He said, I'll not have you to be ignorant brethren. So there is some ignorant brethren. Hallelujah. When it comes to rightly dividing the coming of the Lord. I not have you. That went over real big, didn't it? Hallelujah. I not have you be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And this we say in you by the word of the Lord, that we which alive remain under the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which alive remain shall caught up together in the cloud to meet the Lord there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort you one another with these words. Of the times and seasons, brother, you need not a writing for yourself, no prophet, that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. Amen. He said, as a thief in the night. I'm not going to go on with that one because I'm hung up right here. Hallelujah. Amen. That's enough. Some of you didn't get the first part. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, Satan, I dredge it. The scoffers doubt it, and the scriptures declare it. Well, amen. And saints desire it. Even so come Lord Jesus. Every time I see this sodomite running for president and Nancy Pelosi on the news, she looks like she's looking at a 45-minute landing of the Hindenburg. Amen. I say, even so come Lord Jesus. Come and get us out of here. Get them out of here. One. Hallelujah. Amen. I had a tender moment right there. Amen. Hey, it's coming visibly. He's coming victoriously. He's coming vocally. They're not going to spit on him the next time. They're not going to nail him to no tree. They're not going to pluck his beard and beat his back. He's coming, neighbor. You better be ready when he comes. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm about to get over being nervous. Hallelujah. Hey, sinner, you need to get ready. Amen. Matthew 11:28 said, come unto me, all ye labor, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly heart, shall find rest for your soul. 1974, in the month of November, on a Sunday morning at 11:30, I walked in Fairview Bible Baptist Church, with hair down on my back, a pair of bell-bottom breeches on with patches on them, a T-shirt with a peace sign on it, needle tracks in both my arms, smell of whiskey and beer on my breath, depressed on my way to heaven. On my way to hell by 15 after 12. Blood washed, born of the Holy Ghost, sealed under the day of redemption, washed all my sins away, clothed me in the right. I've been on my way to heaven ever since that day. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, he didn't say come to the Baptist church, and I'm not picking on if you ain't a Baptist now, you will be when you get to heaven. Hallelujah. I shouldn't have said that, but too late now. He said, come unto me. Care about no Baptist, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, Methodist. I just knew I was miserable, depressed, sick of my sin, shame of my life. That preacher's preaching about Calvary. He's preaching about the darling Son of God dying for a filthy dog like me. I went forward that morning, fell on my face. I cried out in my heart, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Somebody said, you pray the sinner's prayer. I guess I did pray a sinner's prayer. Every prayer I'd ever prayed was a sinner's prayer. What do I know about a sinner's prayer? They said, you go down the Romans Road. No, I drove down Marguerite Drive. I didn't know one Bible verse. I knew he was real. I knew I was dirty. I wanted what he had. He gave it to me that day. Fill my heart full of peace and joy. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved. Praise God. I'll tell you what hinders sinners from getting saved when saints fail together. Amen. That's right. Not forsake the assembly of the self together. Manner some is exhorting one another, even so much more as we see the day approaching. I got saved on Sunday morning, showed back up on Sunday night, for I knew it was a sin not to be there. Hallelujah. James 4 said, for him to know do good and do it not to him, it's a sin. I didn't know that verse, but I tell you, I got a hold of something that morning. Made me want to know more about it that night. Amen. They didn't even count you being saved. Where I got saved till you showed up on Wednesday. Hallelujah. I still kind of doubt them when they don't you? Hallelujah. I'm just trying to tell you, amen, I like it, don't you? Amen. Some folks think it's, sinners folks think going and get work 50 weeks, get 2 weeks off, or maybe 48 weeks and get 4 weeks off, and they go to Disney World. That's what they call fun. And I've been down there my first and last time. About half of the people work down there, a bunch of homos. Hallelujah. Well, I shouldn't have said that. That's not politically correct. I could say it the other way. Well, you're doing all right, Brother Epps. Hallelujah. I went. The reason I went, my boy was a little. The reason I went when I went, you get 2 weeks off, takes you 2 days to get there, 2 days to get back. That's 4 days. You absolutely done nothing but cripple yourself. Amen. My wife said, let's take the boy on a vacation. I said, I ain't got no money. She said, oh, yeah, I've seen you rat hole that money. Every man rat holes money, hides it from his wife. I said, that's my gun money. She said, you got a gun. I said, I seen a bigger one. Amen. That's right. I don't shoot stuff to hang it on the wall. I just like to watch it explode. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And plus, going on those things is cheaper than alimony. So you go. That's right. Amen. Go down there. Amen. About 600 miles. Drive down there. Pay $65 to go in a place to look at a guy dressed up in a dog suit called Goofy. He's not Goofy. You the Goofy one. Amen. Got two hot dogs and been under that sun lamp for about 8 days and two Cokes. That's $32. That's a sin against God. Then they want to ride that Space Mountain. That roller coaster in the dark makes you throw up the hot dogs and the Coke. Wonderful time. Hallelujah. Before you get back home, you're talking about divorce. Amen. I'd rather go to church. Praise God. Amen. It's a lot cheaper, a lot more fun to go to church. Well, amen. When you fail together. Hey, when we falter in our giving, we hinder sinners being saved. I lived pretty rough, couldn't hold down a job, and was freeloading all my grandparents. Grown man, I'm not glorifying sin. That's what dope and alcohol make a bum out of you. Make a pauper out of you. Make a liar out of you. And I got saved, and I found out the Bible said the man won't work, neither should he eat. So I got me a job. That's not a cuss word, a job. Amen. Amen. Bible said let every man bear his own burden. I'd been letting somebody else carry my load. I've time to pick up the load yourself. And then I learned at church how God finances his ministry through the tithes and free will offerings of God's people. As God prospered me during the week, I laid it aside the first day of the week. I brought no less than 10% of my gross income into the house of God, put it in the offering plate, amen, and shouted and praised God that I had it to give. By the way, that's not where you stop, that's where you start. That belongs to the Lord anyway. I believe that's right. How am I doing right here? Am I doing all right? Well, amen. So I learned that, and I'm not a name it and claim it and TBN 700 club preacher by any means, and I don't hold hands in a circle with no men. I can't stand that. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I know y'all might have done that there, but y'all saved. I do prison work. I don't do that. Hallelujah. I just don't do it. Amen. How am I doing right there? And I don't know nobody give me no holy kiss on the jaw either. I don't care about that. Amen. My wife's saying, you are crazy. Hey. How am I doing? Am I doing okay? I did find out. I'm not a naming, claiming prosperity preacher, but I do believe when you honor the Lord, the first fruit your increase, your meal barrel won't never run out. Cruise of oil. It may get a little low. You may get a little nervous along the way, but I guarantee, I believe it's true. He'll meet every need every day of your life. Amen. Well, I believe that when we fail together, falter in again, when we faint in our going, be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He said, go out in the highways and hedges, compel them to come in my house, back be filled. My grandma couldn't read or write, but she'd gotten saved, quit drinking moonshine liquor. Her and my grandpa, and they started going to that church, and she didn't know how to read the Bible, but she had the author, the Holy Ghost, living in her. Christmas time come around, she said, Dave, you go to meeting with me? I believe in the virgin birth before I ever got saved. I've never doubted Jesus' virgin birth ever since I heard about it as a boy. I've doubted my new birth, but I've never doubted his virgin birth. I never doubt my new until I got it. How am I doing right there? Amen. She taught me into going to church at Christmas. Taught me into going to Easter. I believe in the resurrection when I was a rank heathen. I believe that Jesus Christ was real. And then she taught me into going to homecoming. Y'all have homecoming, fried chicken, tater salad, pies, and cake. Amen. Even a drunk could go for a free meal. Hallelujah. Amen. They put a chicken wing on that hook and draw you in there. Before you got to eat that chicken, that preacher hang you out over hell for about 45 minutes, make you feel like a sheep-killing dog. When he got done preaching, I didn't want no chicken. I wanted out of there. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. They never did give up. They might have doubted I was ever going to show up, but that Sunday morning I showed up. They was both a-weeping. Hallelujah.
Amen. I'm telling you, don't give up. You never know who's going to walk through the door. You never know. Hey, well, when you fail together, faltering, you're giving, fainting, you're going. When you're not filled with God, be not drunk with wine, where except be filled with Spirit, speaking to yourselves psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, make merry as unto the Lord. And I ain't claiming to be filled with God, but I sure like it when He does. Hallelujah. You understand what I mean? Amen. That's not a suggestion. That's a commandment. Bothers me when the Holy Ghost is grieving my heart. It bothers me. And then when you're foolish about godliness. Nowadays, you know, folks don't want you preaching much on godliness. What, know you not your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you've gotten. You're not your own. Been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God. Be not unequal yoked together with unbeliever. For what fellowship is right with unright? What communion have light with darkness? What concord with Christ with Belial? What party he that believeth with the infidel? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? If you have the temple of living God, God said, I dwell in them, walk in them. Wherefore come out from amongst you, be a separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I receive you. I shall be a father, and you shall be my son and daughter, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen. I believe that's pretty close right there. Amen. That didn't impress you much, but I work hard on that stuff. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Isn't that right? When I got saved, I had a pair of bell-bottom breeches on that morning, but they did fit me. Amen. You get my age, this part moves up here. You have to do this all the time. Now, I've been in some Baptist churches where the boys, you know, got their breeches hanging down. Amen. Their drawers are showing, and amen, a little decal on the side of their head and a hubcap in their ear and a logging chain. I've been in some crazy places, I'm telling you. And I'm not picking on you, amen, about that stuff, but that ain't godliness. If the world's doing it, we don't do it. If contemporary movements are doing it, we don't do it. By the way, they're the same. Hallelujah. How am I doing there? That hit a little snag, amen. Amen. You know, these boys wear these baggy britches. They're too big. These girls wear these hip huggers. Most of them got more hip than them things to hug. You seen them? Hallelujah. Amen. Ain't we having a time? Woo! Then they won't wear these blouses. It's too small. And they got about that much flesh shown on the back. Then they want to put a decal back here. I'm not picking on you. I used to have one of them. Amen. When you get 13-year-old, you fall in love with every girl you see. You're going through some kind of, I was lost and thought I loved this girl. Thought it was a lifetime thing. 13-year-old, got me some Indian ink and a needle and a thread, and I didn't even draw it out real good. I loved this woman. Put her name on my arm. And I seen her about 25 years later. She grew a mustache, picked up a few pounds. Hey, man, I went to the doctor. I said, get that ugly woman's name off my arm, Doc. How am I doing right there? Hey, we having a time. I'm not picking on you, but I'm telling you what, you put that on there when you're about 16, 18-year-old trying to fit in. Be not conformed to this world, be a transformed. We don't have to look like them. We don't have to act like them to win them. You put that on there when you're young, everything is in its proper place. You get 68-year-old, it's not going to be on your back. It's going to be on the back of your knees. That's where that's going to be. Woo! Anybody want to testify on that high note right there? Hey, hey, man, this is probably my last opportunity to get to preach here, but I'm going to unload the whole wagon while I'm here. Hey, I'm just trying to tell you, amen. Well, we're going to quit on that, and my wife said, you are losing it here. Hey, sinners need to get ready. I'm having a good time. Some of y'all look like you're in a dentist's office this morning. I'm not drilling teeth. I'm trying to preach, amen. Hey, sinners need to get ready. Saints need to get right. We need to get right. If we say we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light, he's in light, have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we're not sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth's not his. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we're not sin, we make him a liar and his word's not in us. Little children, these things are writing you, sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's a perpetuation for our sin, not for our sins only, but also for the sin of the Lord. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith I know him, keepeth not his commandment, is a liar and the truth not in. Whosoever keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we do know that we in him. He that saith he abide in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Could I get a help right there? Amen. Amen. I believe that's right. You say you talk fast. I told you I drank a pot of coffee this morning, man. I feel like Superman right now. I feel like I could leap off this thing here. Hey, I'm trying to tell you, we need to, you go to church, you know, you get saved. That's a, when you get cleansed by the blood, that's a one-time deal. But we live in a dirty, filthy world. Amen. I pastored a Baptist church for 10 years. Those folks that went to altar all the time didn't bother me. It's those folks that for 10 years never went. bother me is if they live 10 years without having to make a trip to the altar. Amen. Isn't that right? It bothers me. Huh? Amen. I know you don't have to go every service, but I'll tell you what, you ain't going to go 10 years without needing to go. That's exactly right. That's nonsense. Amen. We live out here in this filthy world. That's what church is for. We come in. Amen. God shines a light where the dirt's at. And by the washing of the water's the word, he purges us. Amen. Purges us. Gets that guilt out of our conscience that we can go on and do something for him. Isn't that right? I believe that's right. I believe that's right. I believe that's exactly right. Amen. Well, I'm not going to park there, but he said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastor, teacher, for the perfecting of the saint, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to all come to the unity of the faith, under the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, by the cunning crafting, whereby the lying wait to see, but speaking the truth and love, may go up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, whom the whole body is fitly joined together, compacted at every joint supplies, according to the effectual work, and measure every part, making of the body, and edify itself in love. This I say there, testifying the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the band of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alien from the life of God, through the ignorance of him who's being past feelings, that give themselves over lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. I believe that's pretty close. He gave us the gift of the church. There's no apostles, no prophets today, except false apostles, false prophets, that which is perfect to come. 66 books of this Bible. If you got the Holy Ghost, you're saved. You got the author in you. Amen. He gave you the gifts of the church, evangelist, pastor, teacher, to help you rightly divide it and help keep your life clean, that you might let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. I believe that's right. Well, let me hurry here. I'm about done. Well, I'm going pretty good. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, sinners need to get ready. Saints need to get right. Services need to get real. I mean, revive services. That's what this is. We love coming here. Other places we get to go, it stirs us up, refreshes us, gets us cleaned up. Amen. Shows us how prideful we are. Amen. Isn't that right? You remember when you first got saved? Boy, what a wonderful day. You remember when you first fell in love with your wife? Some of you look like you wish you could forget that. But my wife's sitting back there 40 years almost. Next to getting saved, best thing ever happened to me. I fell in love with her at first sight. I didn't get that off Oprah or Dr. Phil. I mean that. Love is something you can feel down here. It's real in here. It's different. When you find that one that's yours, it's in here. I knew she loved me, but it was going to take some convincing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. See, love is a given thing. And I fell in love with her. I knew she loved me, but it's going to take some convincing. I'd take her car and fill it up with gas and wash it. One reason I didn't have one of my own. I'd take her out to eat, buy her dinner, buy her dresses. Dresses, buy her dresses. Let me say that one more time. Dresses. Buy her jewelry. Go around and open the door for her and let her in. I've been married to her 40 years now. She ain't got both feet in. When I'm ready to go, I drag her down the road. He said in Revelation 2, I have somewhat against you. You've left your first love. Yes, sir. Yep. You remember when you met your mate, how you just wanted to see her every day and talk to her? And just couldn't hardly stand it till you got where she was at. It's the way it was when I got saved. Right. I felt so safe down at that church. I'd been such a vile, vulgar man. I knew if I could get down there, I could hear his voice. I could feel his presence. Made no difference what song was sung. Boy, it made me weep. Made no difference what the preacher preached. It was exactly what I needed. I went a lot on how I felt. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. Somebody said, you can't go on how you feel. You ought to say, as far as you know, you can't. That's all I knew. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. But I had God in me. God in me. I get sin. When I grieve the Holy Spirit something where I couldn't feel his presence, I come in to Sunday school, go straight to the altar. Say, God, I'm sorry. Whatever it is, I need you to touch me today. I need you to well, just hold me again. We've been saved so long now. If he ain't ready to go when we are, we drag him down the road. something happened there. Now, I know we're closer home now, no more now, but sometimes I wish I could just go back to that day and maybe live at least 40 years, maybe do a better job. I love him. Just love him back. Like he try to love him back. Do a better job. Just wrap your arms around him. Am I doing anything good here? I'm about to have a spell here. I'm just trying to tell you. That's what happens to us. These meetings what stirs us up, gets us back. We may not get back there, and I don't guess, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. I know you can only get saved one time. You know, when you've been get sin in your life and you get straightened out, it's almost like getting saved again. Isn't that right? Well, I'm shutting up right here. He's coming. Are you ready? Some need to get real. Some people just need it. My wife's sitting back there. And I don't know you feel that way about you. I don't know any better woman than my wife. She gets up every day, about daylight. She's in that Bible, reading that Bible. Now, I'm not that way. I'm a little foggy in the morning. I kind of walk like Fred Sanford in the morning. Whew. I'm headed to the coffee pot. She always wants to ask you these Bible questions when you ain't woke up yet. She's mad at Abraham for a while for how he treated, who is that? Hagar, yeah. She said, why'd he do that? You'll have to talk to him. Where's the coffee? Hallelujah, where's the coffee? But she married me. I thought she was saved. She don't get bent out of shape and let her mouth kick in gear before her brain does like I do sometimes. I know you don't do that. She's just laid back. She don't do that. She don't do that. She thought she was saved. I thought she was saved. Temperament. She had control of her tongue and her temper. And I struggle with that. I could live right if I didn't have to drive so much. My wife would say, you're so impatient. I said, no, that guy up there is brain dead. Don't he know I'm headed to church to spread joy and cheer? Get out of the way, buddy. I got called to preach later on after we was married. I was preaching a little church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. My wife was with me in the Holy Ghost. My wife was a Baptist, baptized, good girl. The Holy Ghost told my wife right there, you don't have what he has. I didn't tell her that. I'm talking about all the outward trimmings, no oil in the vessel. She'd get in the car going to work in the morning, Lester Roloff be on the radio singing, preaching. He'd come out of that radio and tell her, you don't have what he has. I didn't tell her that. She'd lay at night to be asleep. She'd be weeping, afraid she's going to hell. She wasn't trying to deceive nobody, fool nobody. She really struggled with that thing for a long time. One day I went up to the church to pray, and that's four cell phones. And I left, and she would come up there looking for me. God didn't want me there or nobody else. She knew more Bible than I knew. It was on a Saturday. She dressed up with a dress and put her church clothes on, had respect for God's property. Amen. Went up there looking for me, about insane with dressing with that thing. And went in there that day and got down on her face by herself there and said, God, if you don't save me today and give me peace, I'm going to lose my mind. And the Lord save my wife right there. She called me. I was over at a preacher friend's house. She called me. She was rejoicing and weeping. She said, guess who got saved? And I said, who? She said, I did. I said, Lord, am I saved? And that's exactly right. I got to thinking, good night. Maybe I've missed it. Are you saved? He's coming. I'm done, preacher.